From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. Here in about a half hour, we're going to be joined by Ole Miss men's basketball coach Kermit Davis on the Billy's Pecans hotline. We'll see what's going on with Kermit as he's settled into the job now. After several weeks, I guess, time's starting to fly by a little bit this spring, getting 80-degree weather today, getting sunny skies, starting to put the winter behind us finally.
So. Cold front coming through on Saturday, my friend.
Thunderstorm, right?
Thunderstorms. It's going to be about 24 hours of rain, but a cold front behind
it. Getting cold again, too.
Oh, yeah, and the highs in the 50s early next week.
Oh, good.
At least that's what I saw a minute ago.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. Again, you're just as right as most weathermen, so it's fine.
I hope I'm wrong.
Okay.
But that's what the... That's what the wonderful weather people at Memphis,
Action News 5?
I believe it was Action News 5. That's NBC?
Yes, NBC.
That is what they were reporting.
That's your favorite news channel?
That is what they were reporting. It was on in the bedroom as we were waiting. I said we, not me, as she was waiting for the Today Show to begin, and they were going over the weather once again.
Do you turn anything on in the mornings?
Nope. You know, it's funny. I don't watch a lot of TV. I've got NBA Network on right now.
You do a lot of games in background.
Yeah. There's a couple of games that I wanted to see highlights of because last night there were so many games that I had to focus in on. I focused in on Thunder and then this one, the Wolves and Nuggets. And I didn't. And then I watched the first half of Portland, Utah, and I said, I better go to bed. Okay. But there were just games I didn't get to see a lot of.
Yeah. Okay. Just wondering.
But no, I'm not a. You will leave here usually about 9:45, 10 o'clock, yep. And there are lots of days that I don't turn the TV on at all.
No, I don't either. Again, your NBA TV is me putting the golf channel on in the background, but I'm hardly ever actually paying attention to it.
Yeah.
It's just sort of there. So,
well, this was Denver and Minnesota. It was basically a playoff game. Winner gets once Oklahoma City won, the winner got the 8 seed. And this was a game that went to overtime. It was
who won?
Minnesota. It was a terrific, terrific basketball game.
Okay. Podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon. Been telling you for a while. You come into town, it's there on Highway 6 West, so you get your bottomless refill from the Blue Sky for 49 cents. You also can get some plate lunches, $4.99. You can get ribs at night. Call ahead, show up. Either way. We'll pack them up and have them ready to go to feed the family on short notice for you. Again, Highway 6 West in Oxford and up and down I-55 are plenty of Blue Sky Critical locations. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. It's no hassle. It's just really easy. And then it's up to you. You get your quote, and you can shop it all you'd like. You can call as many other dealers as you would like to, all those things. Or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of the podcast. That's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. I will make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about the dealership on the podcast, any of our family of podcasts, this one, the Soft Verbal, which will presented by Billy's Pecans, which we're taping later today, the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, which we're taping later today, and the Greatest Pot in the South, which we taped yesterday, and I need to throw it up today. I need to do that here momentarily. So all those, mention any of them, $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford.
So, again, Ole Miss Vanderbilt this weekend in Nashville. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Be aware of the weird time. Sunday's game is at 4 p.m., much later than normal on a Sunday. So, 4 p.m. on Sunday.
Why? How so?
TV, I'm assuming. I don't know that, but that is my interpretation.
Let me get this right. Hold on.
Here we go.
Let's make sure I understand. The student athlete it's very important that we get the student athlete home in time for him or her to study.
Yeah, Sunday is an ESPNU national broadcast at 4 p.m.
Hold on, I'm asking a question.
Okay.
It's critical. If the game goes extra innings, we must stop the game and get the young men home.
We have ties in college baseball on certain Sundays.
If we start a series on Thursday and it rains and we have a rainout, we must either play a doubleheader or cancel the game. We cannot stay until Sunday. This is all because we want to protect the academic interest of these student athletes. Is that correct? Am I right so far?
Yeah, all good so far. Those are the rules.
However, apparently, when TV wants to show the game at 4 o'clock, which means, and this is college baseball, and I'm not making fun of college baseball, but I've watched a lot of college baseball. It's Sunday. The bullpens are taxed. These are the third pitchers, not the first pitchers. Often, these Sunday games...
3.5 hours.
Go 3.5 to 4 hours. The hitters are good and warmed up. The pitchers are good and tired. So let me see if I can – my ULM math will kick in. We start at 4:07.
And that's – yeah.
We go – let's say we go 3:40.
Okay.
That's 7:47 when last pitch is thrown. The two teams shake hands. They go meet in the outfield, have a little pep talk. They got to get a little snack and such.
Reasonably on the bus to pull out another 45 minutes.
This is 8:30 at the absolute earliest.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's 12:30 pulling back into Oxford. Some of these young men have classes.
Maybe even at 8 a.m.
It's possible.
Because you can't have afternoon classes because of practice.
Because you have baseball practice. I'm just saying. I sense that, well... academics matter until TV says they don't.
As you said, we love the conference and the NCAA tournaments and all sports. And they go, please direct your initial questions to the student athletes so we can get them out of here. And then we will ask questions to the head coach.
Yeah, come on, man. I mean, I don't care. Don't get me wrong.
And if you want to piss off a moderator, you ask a question to the head coach right then, and he will stop you and go, no. All questions directed to the student athletes.
We must get these student athletes back to the locker room so they can resume their studies. Because him sitting there 3 more minutes is going to impact his GPA.
And they never say the players. It's always the student athletes.
I always want to say, my question is for both student athletes.
Oh,
I mean, I make a pretty valid point right there. I know I'm a big blowhard jackass, but I make a pretty good point right there. That's, you say all season long. I mean, Chase, they will, a game will be in the 11th inning, 5-5. Nope, we have to stop. We have hit the curfew. Mm-hmm. We can't, simply cannot stay here another 25 minutes. No. Shake hands, tiebreakers be damned. Let's get out of here. These boys are, they're in Auburn, and they must get back to Starkville right now. They must begin their studies. 25 minutes, no. But by God, we'll play a game at 4 o'clock on a Sunday for television.
4 o'clock? Normally when the game's over. Normally it's a 1:30 first pitch.
I'm just saying. Come on. And I don't care. Good for everybody. Good for college baseball to get a nationally televised game between two programs that have had tons of success. Great for college baseball. My point is this. Can we not do the hypocrisy all the other times? I mean, that's all. I'm not asking for much. Good for Vanderbilt. Good for Ole Miss. Good for the kids. Good for the fan bases. Good for the sport. But can we not do this whole, no, we cannot stay here another half hour. No, hell no.
Yeah,
I mean, it's sad how impenetrable this argument is.
Because it is.
It's completely not debatable. You're sitting over there going, I'm trying to think of something I could say like devil's advocate. There's nothing.
No. I mean, your only devil's advocate is you do get a lot of Sunday waivers if both teams, if team bust in. You can manipulate it with the SEC a little bit.
I understand.
Bit,
my point is, you shouldn't even have to fool with all that. We should just have some common sense that kicks in and goes, hey, they're in the 11th. Let's let them go another inning.
Yeah. But then what if they go another inning?
Then they play another inning.
Then it'd be another inning. What if they play 17?
Then it'll be a storied game that people will talk about for years to come.
They allowed the Ole Miss State game to go for 17 innings back 10 years ago.
Yeah. Everybody survived?
Everybody except for Jim Mashick lost a chair that was a big problem for a while for Jim.
So Jim lost a chair.
Yeah.
But the student athletes.
No, I think they were all fine.
They were all okay?
Yeah. Scott Biddle got cussed by some Ole Miss students after the game, or as the game was ending, but that was about it.
But in terms of their academics.
Yeah, it was a simpler time.
In terms of their academics, they were able to continue on with their coursework?
Best that I'm aware of.
Good. Yes. Good.
I'm not aware of any of those students flunking out the next quarter because of it. No news for you, if you will. Ole Miss, as of yesterday around 4 o'clock, had not received the response to their appeal from whatever we call this committee.
It was due yesterday, am I correct?
I thought it was due several days ago, but as of 4 o'clock, Ole Miss did not have it. Whenever they do get it, there is a 14-day period for them to respond back, because we do a lot of responding back and forth.
Right.
And then there's like a 10 or 15-day period for fact-checking or something along those lines.
It's only been 6 years.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And then at some point, they're going to schedule a hearing. And then you'll have a hearing probably June-ish.
Then you'll need 90 days to think about the damned hearing.
Well, Louisville, yesterday I was told that Louisville, between their hearing or whatever and their final decision, was 9 weeks. So bottom line here, you're looking August-ish for a final decision to put this thing to bed and turn off the light.
And when you say August-ish, you mean like December.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Ballpark 2018-19, somewhere in there.
So you mean August of 2018, but you're giving yourself plus or minus a year.
Wouldn't you?
Hell yeah, I wouldn't box myself in. You're the one sitting here giving dates, not me. I'm the one making fun of the whole thing. You can get
Remember back in November when we looked it up in the bylaws and it goes, this is a 120-day process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You can get a death penalty appeal thing all the way to the Supreme Court faster than you can do this case. Literally, you can argue a man's life in a shorter period of time than you can argue whether or not Laramie Tunsil slept on Chris Kiffin's couch.
That's always going to be the allegation that we use when making fun of this case, isn't it? I mean, for years.
I'm making fun of all of it.
I know, but that's typically the one we go to first. Is
literally, the lead witness in the case just flat lied, got caught in lies, and the NCAA said, nah, we're going with it.
Did you not listen to some of these national people? The NCAA deemed him completely credible, Neil.
I know they did.
So he's credible.
And I'm sitting here telling you that he lied. Now, did Ole Miss pay Leo Lewis? Oh, absolutely. A booster paid Leo Lewis, I have no doubt. I can't prove it, though. I think the process is really bad. I think the process is really flawed. Having been a juror on a case, I can tell you that when I want to convict somebody, I need some proof.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'd like some proof when I'm going to issue a conviction. Even in a case where I'm going to punish a football coach.
You got a couple more hours. I'm doing a little mailbag today. If you have any questions that you'd like answered regarding any topic whatsoever, just shoot them to me in email or Twitter.
Anything at all?
Yeah, anything at all. I've already got a question written down for best bourbon or whiskey to give as a gift if you don't know someone's taste. We discuss stadiums you should go to in the SEC. Yeah, a lot of just whatever. So anything you'd like, I can probably give some. It kind of like the answer guy on either like Esquire or GQ, where he goes, I'll either know the answer or I'll have a really weird response that makes you think I know the answer, one or the other.
So what is the bourbon you give as a gift?
Well, you got to read and find out. Why would I give that away right here?
I guess you wouldn't have to.
Okay.
What's your typical price range when you give away bourbon as a gift?
I think $30 is a good okay. spot. $25 okay. to $35, okay. something like that. I mean, nothing. You can't go anything too cheap because then it looks weird. But then if you go really expensive, that kind of looks weird too. Yeah, there's a middle ground there where you're.
Well, if you go super expensive, you look like you're trying to show.
Yeah,
off.
You're just being thoughtful at a certain price range, and I think that's the range that you're trying to hit. So,
You know what would be a good price range and a really good whiskey/bourbon?
What's that?
Is that Eagle Rare.
That's a good one, yeah.
It's a really good one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a good price range.
It's like $32-ish, mm-hmm. sometimes a little less than that.
Yeah. So anyway, tweet at me, email, whatever you'd like to do. I'll probably finish that up sometime around noon today, so you've got a little while, a couple hours even at published date of the podcast to get that over.
Do you have a favorite stadium in the league?
LSU is my favorite road trip, mostly because typically I stay in New Orleans and then drive up for the game on those trips.
I do like that stadium.
Yeah, I mean, just stadium, I feel like Alabama has taken over from an atmosphere standpoint, everything they've been able to pull off. Because it wasn't like that 5-10 years ago, but they've really made a jump the last 5 or 10 years. And then
The Nick Saban thing has worked out for them.
But even though Ole Miss didn't really go over there much, so I haven't been over there but a couple times, Georgia probably. For some reason, I really like Athens.
Yeah, I like Athens too.
That's probably
it. The only thing I don't like about Athens is where you have to park and all that stuff.
The weirdest is by far A&M, and then my least favorite, just because it's always dead and no environment, is Vanderbilt, of course. I've never been to Columbia for a game. I think that might be the only place in the SEC I haven't been.
It's a neat environment.
Yeah, I think I haven't been to a football game at Columbia. South Carolina. I've been to Missouri.
Where's Ole Miss go this year? They go Baton Rouge, War Memorial for Arkansas.
Nashville.
And A&M?
Baton Rouge. Or did you say Baton Rouge?
I said Baton Rouge, Arkansas.
Yeah, A&M.
Vanderbilt, A&M. Station. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the ones.
So we have two Houston trips this year.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like Houston. You hate Houston, actually. But
I don't like Houston at all.
Yeah, you hate Houston. I stayed in the Woodlands when I went over there, when you were running the marathon that day. Because the first A&M game, I went because you were running the Chicago Marathon.
Yes.
Jeffrey and I went, and that's when Jeffrey made everybody in the press box mad searching for a Johnny Manziel portrait up in the press box. That was the day all the A&M media moved away from us completely, and we had half the press box to ourselves.
That was the night that I told myself, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, and I basically never did.
Yeah, because it was the next morning, wasn't it?
It was the next morning. I had to get up at 4:30. I think I fell asleep around 2:30.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite interviews after the game. That's when Laramie Tunsil insulted Myles Garrett with just his eyes.
Yes.
Yes, Laramie goes, so how was that? And he just kind of looks at us like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Fine. That poor cornerback. On like the second play of the game, Bo Wallace goes out left, and Laramie gets out in space against some poor A&M corner. And the corner, to his credit, did not run away or back down. He took Laramie on and didn't go.
You say to his credit, it proves his manhood. It doesn't exactly prove his intelligence.
He was chasing the play.
I mean, A&M's paying for his education. They're not. I don't know that they're paying for the rest of his life in a vegetative state. If I'm him,
I mean, he went like head up. I mean, stayed up. Here we go.
That's like everybody making fun of the pitcher yesterday that was running away from Nolan Arenado. I mean, yeah, it's not a great look, but his face looks better today than it would have had he stayed in there and taking the shot.
Well, you never want to throw a punch with your pitching hand. Bull Durham taught us that. So.
I love the slow-mo of the glove throw where the release is just too high. Yeah. Didn't properly follow through.
Well, it's like I tried to make fun of him the other day when I was talking. Our buddy Jonathan Randolph takes baseball gloves to all the games, but he goes, I can't get my fingers hurt. He goes, in all seriousness, he goes, I'm protecting my hand.
Sure.
So, anyway.
You ever thought about how much your job would suck for 6 weeks if you broke a bunch of fingers?
Yeah. I burned my hand in college and couldn't type for several weeks. But yeah, as close as I've gotten. So anyway.
Did you have a nervous breakdown? Well, you had another hand that you could use for the phone.
It was before Twitter and stuff. I mean, this was 2004, 5, something like that. Yeah. I was cooking French fries and burned my hand pretty bad.
That's not good.
No, they were frozen, and I dropped them in the oil, and the oil splattered out. And
yeah,
that's usually how that moment works. Where it took about 5 seconds to actually hurt, so you look at your hand covered in oil and go, this is probably not good in a second.
And then comes the pain.
Yeah, then here we go. So, got a couple minutes before we're going to go to Kermit. What I was going to talk about yesterday for a second.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Appreciate everybody on Twitter. No one spelled it correctly, but I do appreciate the responses and the reminders. You and I were discussing BABIP yesterday, batting average on balls in play, basically a luck factor stat for baseball.
Yes.
And how it averages out over time. You were discussing exit velocities and different things and strikeouts. And what I found a little interesting is even college baseball is getting covered to a more analytical level now. We're starting to we don't have good baselines, and the sample sizes are still way too small to have true readings over the course of seasons. It's probably more interesting to cover a career through analytics than seasons.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we're using it more. We're using some FIP. We're using some BABIP. Obviously, OPS.
You probably should tell people what FIP means.
It's a pitcher's ability regarding how he's doing without his defense.
Gotcha.
So, a lot of stats people, and I'm not really criticizing. I just think there's a middle ground that we've got to be careful about here. We always talk about, you know, strikeouts don't matter. Focus on this. Focus on what you can do from a power standpoint. Look at the totality of the runs produced. And I get this is a little bit hyperbolic, but if you had a team that did nothing but get hits or strike out, you would not score as many runs. There is a semblance of, I mean, it's where I'm getting not really frustrated, but I do find myself fighting back on this a little bit. There is a use for batting average. There is a use for RBIs. Yes. There is a use, and I get RBIs to some extent as a luck stat because I don't necessarily believe in clutch. However, I do believe that certain situations affect people differently. I do believe that some people are looser or tighter in pressure situations compared to someone else.
I do too, and I don't believe RBI is completely a luck stat. It is, I mean, sure, it's somewhat of a luck stat.
It's an opportunity stat.
Yes, you might not have as many opportunities as the next guy. But if the bases are loaded with one out, there are a lot of outcomes that result in a run. A lot of things that can happen that result in a run. There's really only two things that result in, I mean, yeah, a pop-up on the infield's not going to get a run. But a strikeout in that situation is bad.
Strikeouts and double plays.
But, you know, when you hit a ball 108 miles an hour, but it one hops to the second baseman and it's two, I never get upset at that. I always think, okay, well, that's going to even out. Because the next time you hit one 108 miles an hour, the damn thing's probably going into the gap. Those things even out. You're going to hit some atom balls, but if you keep hitting the ball really hard, those balls are going to get into the gaps. They're going to get over the wall. They're going to get into the corners.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want the situation where we're only focused on 1980s principles, but at the same time, there is some eye test involved in this.
Yes.
You can't just build a team based off what the advanced stats say.
I agree completely. There's this thing, and you see it in Major League Baseball all the time. People say, well, strikeouts don't matter. I cheer for a team that strikes out a lot, and I can tell you on the days that they strike out a lot, they don't win. They didn't strike out a lot last night, and they pounded the Pirates.
I mean, power hitters are going to get more leeway in striking out, because
sure,
when they hit it and different things. But, yeah, there is a semblance of moving runners that is necessary.
It's why in basketball I get mad at people when they're like, well, they take too many threes. Well, they've kind of got some computer efficiencies proven that if you shoot 33% from three, it's like the equivalent of shooting, you know, it's better than shooting like 45% from two.
Just straight math tells
it's
you.
Math. That. So the worst shot you can take in basketball analytically is the long two. Show me a team full of guys taking long twos, and I'm going to show you a team not going to the tournament. But not every long two is a bad shot. Not every pull-up jumper from the elbow is a bad shot. So I'm with you completely on this. People take the analytics thing and they've just gone nuts with it. And I realize, like, especially in baseball, you can take a hitter who's had 2,000 major league at-bats. And you generally know what he's going to do with a certain pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the point that you can position somebody inches.
Like that random shift they used on Logan Morrison the other night that was even crazier than a lot of shifts you see.
I mean, a computer did that.
Yeah.
And so the computer people have studied it, and they've gone
put them here. Okay.
They've gone to the manager and said, so here's the deal. This guy's had 3,000 at-bats in the major leagues. Here's his spray chart. Do you see something?
The ball does not go here.
He doesn't hit it here. And so the one out of every 3,000 times that he hits it here, cool, we're going to just tip our hat.
Yeah.
It's like Kyle Schwarber the other day, who's a dead pull hitter, drove one through the left side. He's a left-handed hitter, hits most everything pull side. Drove one through the shortstop hole. The shortstop's playing right behind second base, and you can just kind of see the Pirates in the dugout go, nah.
Yeah. So we might come back to this here in a bit, but first we're going to go to Kermit Davis in a second. The podcast is brought to you in part by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, anything else related to your vacation, an expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides no matter the crowds, and you get a $25 Disney gift card if you book a vacation with him. So contact him for the free, no obligation quote at Brandon at keys2dreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687.
The podcast is also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South Tailgating is celebrating 10 years of business this football season. Try 7 South Tailgating once. You'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South Tailgating will set up your personal gear, or you can rent everything from them that you can get as specific, as detailed, or just as general as you'd like. You tell them what you want, how detailed you want your tailgate to be. They'll take care of you. No one can match the customer service and attention to detail at 7 South Tailgating at 7southtailgating.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB is offering 1-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, 3-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With that 3-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's 3-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great service after the sale. Great lease deals. If you're in the don't drive more than, say, 15,000 miles a year, you want a new car but don't want to pay the new car price, check out the lease deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX legacy realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab at the top left. Filter through by what you are looking for. And then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. He'll take care of the rest.
Now, Kermit Davis on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
Kermit, thanks for being with us. Really appreciate it. It's good to have you on the podcast here for the first time. I know that, at least I assume that when you take over a job like this, you just kind of hit the ground running. Do you feel like you've even come up for air yet?
Well, at times I do, but when you take a new job, and like I said, I spent 16 years at one place, and you get in a routine and rituals, of every day, and you know where everything is. And so it really is kind of invigorating. It's fun, but it's, there's a lot of anxious moments, and you're up there and you scramble around because you're just trying to get your hands in a lot of different things that affect your program. But at the end of the day, there's really three things that really, really matter now is the players in our locker room, recruits in the 18-19 class, even the 20 class, and then just trying to get your staff established. So you kind of almost got to block out a bunch of things and focus on those three areas.
I guess we'll kind of attack those real quick. I know you're pretty close to having the staff done. Where does that stand on that last assistant spot?
Yeah, we've interviewing two or three guys and a lot of guys at some national levels, and then some other guys that I just know and trust that I know if they get to a certain area. There's a lot of things sometimes, it's like me at Middle Tennessee, when you're there for a while and you win there and you get other guys at different high-profile programs. Well, you put some good coaches, not just me, but other areas, and put them at a high-profile program. They're going to win just like that guy. I mean, they will with the resources. And so same thing as assistant coaches. I mean, so there's a lot of good guys at some other levels, too, that we've identified that I know they'll get a shot in a place like Ole Miss. They could be very, very good. So those are some of the things. And, I'm just not going to rush into it. I'm just not. And, we may be close to doing it, but if something just doesn't hit us just right, then, it may go through another little process.
the team you inherited obviously had a struggle season. Things did not go well. It was as difficult a year as that program's had in a long time. When you walked in to that locker room, and now that you're working with those guys, how much of just kind of re-recruiting of the current players, and how much of just kind of rebuilding their confidence have you had to do?
Yeah, you know, you any locker room. I left a locker room that had won a lot of games, and we're only going 3 or 4 or 5 days. You know, guys are calling us, and I said, guys, just slow down, take it easy. You're going to have a good coach. You're going to enjoy the new staff. Just take a deep breath. The same thing here, you know, and it is. I mean, it was, you know, Andy had resigned in 6-7 games, and, you know, Tony came in, and those guys were, you know, close to Tony and their staff, and there's a new staff, so there's always uneasy feelings. But I tell you what, these guys in this locker room have been very good. They really have. I mean, they've been attentive. They have, you know, we've responded well. We've had 5 workouts, and it's like any team right now. You know, the conditioning's not great, and that's part of it with all teams. And but they've been very good in meetings. They've been really good hosting on official visits, other recruits. So I feel good about, you know, we've got, you know, I think 5 good pieces, you know, in that locker room. And I just think that those guys, we got to add to them. And those guys have got to get better in the locker room and improve certain areas.
I know you mentioned recruiting the 19 class, the 20 class that you've, the signing period, the late signing period for this 18 class started yesterday, I believe. How many guys do you anticipate, whether it's, I'll leave it here for now, then I'll get to the next question. How many guys do you anticipate signing in this period if everything kind of goes the way you want it to go?
You know, and they'll play immediately for us, you know, hope 3 or 4, you know. But are there some guys right now that want to come to Ole Miss? You bet. But we've got to really be patient, make sure that we try to get the best ones. And there's going to be some guys that we're recruiting now that, you know, that, going to visit other places. That's just where it is, you know. And so I don't think the Ole Miss people can panic, you know, that we don't sign 3 guys on the signing date. But we've got some guys that we think we're close with, some guys coming in to visit this weekend. And so, you know, it's just one of those processes that we got to make the right decisions. And so that's just something right now. I just think you got to work like crazy, but you got to be patient, take your time, and make the right decisions, not just, you know, it's a graduate transfer maybe, but if it's guys that are high school kids that are going to try to be with you for the next 4 years.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but from the outside looking in, it looked like you had a ton of success with taking a grad transfer here and there, putting it with pieces that you already had inside your program. And for you, it always kind of, at least from the outside looking in, it always kind of seemed to really work. Not kind of work, really work. Like Nick King and guys like that. How do you go about when you're evaluating what is becoming a really big part of your game, the college game? How do you evaluate when to take a grad transfer, how he might fit? That's a lot of, like, you got to evaluate a lot of personality and that kind of thing in addition to what he brings to you on the floor.
Yeah, the biggest thing is just the opportunity to play. I mean, they got to fit an opportunity to play. I see so many grad transfers now, they just get over-recruited. And guys are just signing for insurance. I mean, high-level places. And I was at Middle Tennessee, and you know, I said, gosh, this guy's got a hard time maybe. I think he's starting our team. And all of a sudden, you look up, and his 4 visits are 2 ACC schools and 2 Big Ten schools. And they go, and they're insurance pieces. Well, you know, here is a graduate transfer. We really need a guy that can come and start and try to be all-league. So we took one, but then we took 2 1-year transfers. You know, like LaRon Dindy's a guy at Iowa State, and averaged six a game at Iowa State, was MVP of our league. Corey Williams averaged 4 a game at Arkansas, MVP of our league. And those guys set a year. But we knew that the opportunity to play, and the second thing is the system of play, of how they fit in with their skill set. So that's the biggest thing right now, you know. And so, you know, we're involved with some graduate transfers, and, you know, hopefully some of those guys will be coming to visit here in the next 2-3 weeks.
Have you been received with the 19 kids, the 20 kids, the guys that, you know, ultimately those are the big building blocks that I know you want to bring in over the next, you know, 12 to 24 months? Has the reception to Ole Miss basketball been what you thought it would be?
It's been even better. I mean, it's that's the part, you know, because here, as you're getting a new job and you're stabilizing, just what we just talked about, guys, I mean, you got to start getting your hooks in the 19 and 20 classes. So it's been outstanding. I mean, it should be. When you think about it, I mean, you know, obviously you're selling this university, one of the best college towns in the country. I mean, I'm speaking to the choir to you guys. You guys get it. But, I mean, you know, you're not selling Taft Smith. You're selling the Pavilion, the Tory Center, the Manning, all the things. And now you're selling the Southeastern Conference where 8 teams got in, and probably 8 to 10 will get in next year in the SEC network. So it should be well perceived, and it is. And so those are the things that you're right, that those are critical classes, and even the 21 class. So we've got to start, you got to start doing your work in all areas. And that's just something that, you know, we're going to go just, we may get beat sometimes, but we're going to go after the very best guys, and that's what we got to do.
You coached in Tad Smith a few times. Did you ever encounter any crazy animals or anything in that visitor's locker room?
I saw some birds flying around every now and then. But, you know, I've been in some open-air arenas. Everybody's, you know, we're going to go and practice in the Pavilion a bunch. And I asked our guys, I said, we're going to try to go this week, but they've got a cheerleading thing or something. And so in the summer, we're going to do it. We start our practices. We're going to go in the Pavilion 2 or 3 days a week. And I said, oh, folks would love to do that. I want to go over there. And he said, well, what about the people up in the, you know, eating? I said, guys, I've coached in this Tibby Dome at Idaho where they were throwing shot puts over the floor and javelins were going over the floor and guns going off and people were everywhere. We didn't flinch. And I said, our place, we played Murphy Center, there's an open deal, everybody's everywhere. So that stuff doesn't faze me. So it's, I think, like, you know, the Tad Smith, where we all, you know, played there, watched my dad coach there and all that stuff. And it's a loud arena, but I just think that this Pavilion is terrific, and I can't wait to get our guys not only playing but practicing there.
My favorite Tad Smith story is Andy Kennedy called David Brandt. He was covering. He works for the Associated Press. If you haven't met David, you will. He called David over in the middle of practice, called him right to the middle of the floor and said, David, come here. And David came up, and he got him to look up at the top, and he goes, you see that blue spot? And David Brandt's looking up there like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he goes, the blue spot, do you see it? And he goes, well, yeah. And he goes, that's the sky. Oh, this is my favorite Tad Smith story. More than all the stuff about raccoons and all that, was that was my favorite one. Hey,
that is great. I love it.
let me ask you this, because the Adidas story, the FBI story back in the news this week, as a guy who's, you've spent your life in college basketball. Does this story, I know it, none of it has shocked you. Has it bothered you? Is there a fix for it? Or is this just something that kind of comes with the territory when it comes with college basketball?
You know, I think it bothers all coaches. But, you know, if it's to clean up college basketball, it's a good thing. We all hate to see coaches and families and universities go through this. But if it's to clean up college basketball and to make it pure where everybody wants it to be, then I think it's a good thing. But it's just you know, something that's been going around, you know, with shoe companies and agents. You know what? There's some unbelievably great AAU guys. There's some unbelievably great agents. There's great shoe companies. There's great – but it's just part of our society. You know, there's always different people that can make the business not good. So I just hope that – it all gets cleaned up, and college basketball is exactly what we all want it to be.
Well, hey, we really appreciate your time very much. I know you got a lot going on, so we look forward to getting you back on maybe sometime after things have slowed down a little bit and we can visit some more.
You know, now when you look at the sky and the Pavilion, at least we look through the window, right? The big
exactly.
Window over there. So that's a good thing.
You see we're blue, but it's not a bad thing, right?
We're making it. The sky's not a bad thing in the Pavilion.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Great being with you.
Thanks, Kermit. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks a ton to Kermit Davis for joining us on today's podcast, a podcast that's brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. 662-607-7773 is the phone number, or MasterCutsLawn.com. I've been using them for a long time, and you can too by signing an annual contract with them where they give you a free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks. They'll take care of pine straw and different things in your landscaping, plus all the normal weeding and edging and mowing that comes with a lawn service. So again, check them out at mastercutslawn.com or 662-607-7773.
Kermit Davis and all the guests join us on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Let Billy's Pecans handle all the details of your corporate gifting, all your thank yous. They know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill, for a referral from 5 to 5,000 orders. Billy's Pecans will handle it all with expertise and with excellence, all with their signature Southern style and with items at every price point you simply can't choose wrong. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and more, and it couldn't be any more perfect, satisfying. Give them a call, 1-800-624-7404. Or go online, www.billyspecans.com. If you want to send them an email, it's info@billyspecans.com. Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a great one when you get Robert Gambrell. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the website, or they're in Holly Springs. You can contact them at 662-252-2321. Fill out the form, get the Sildenafil. It is a $10 alternative to that $50 or $60 little blue pill. You tear it in, or not tear it, you can separate it into quarters or halves or take the entire pill. Have you ready as little as 15 minutes if that is necessary. So again, they deliver wherever you are, and they're also now in Oxford as well with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, where they deliver local and give you great hometown service. Yeah, thanks to Kermit again for joining us today on the show. He's been all over the place, been quite busy, been recruiting high-level kids and trying to convince his current roster to hang around. And judging by just the work ethic involved, it appears they've been a little all over the country now as they are trying to do the staff and the team at the same time.
Yeah, whenever you, like you said, whenever you take over a job, it's, you don't get to dip your toe in the water. You don't get to sort of do the, you know, your daughter will probably do it. She's about that age where she'll start thinking about jumping in, but it's, you got to really think about it. Put your toe in, and maybe you pull your toe back out. Maybe you walk around a little bit. You don't have that option. You just got to jump in, usually right into the deep end and start swimming, and that's what they're having to do. And they're recruiting a lot of kids all over the country, and I think he's got the right attitude. You're going to lose some of those. You're going to lose a lot of those, frankly. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
you just
basketball.
Need one or two.
It's just basketball. I tell this story all the time. I grew up in Ruston, Louisiana. And in the early to mid-80s, Louisiana Tech was number seven in the country. Number seven in the country. They went to the Sweet 16, lost in overtime to Oklahoma on a Wayman Tisdale jumper in Reunion Arena. Louisiana Tech had a forward. Kid, last name was Malone. They were pretty good. He was pretty solid. Got Malone.
Basketball, because of the small roster size and the ability to change your program with one player, it is the ultimate sports metaphor for the whole ask out 2010s, and if one says yes, you still have a 10.
Yeah.
Who cares what the other 19 do?
I mean, you know, you'd love to be like John Calipari and ask out 15 tens and get seven of them.
But one can work.
You know. As he's learned, then you're dealing with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But you get one, 10 and a couple of eights, you're off to the races now.
Be careful. you mentioned a minute ago the year of the fan thing. I think this Saturday here in a couple weeks, Ole Miss is doing a home run derby for the fans, giving away some prizes and different things for that at Swayze Field. I think it's April 21st, I believe, is the date. It's the weekend of the Georgia series. So they are doing that. I was also told a couple days ago that the student programming board, we were discussing concerts and different things on campus. This year, they gave some money to Double Decker to improve the bands for Double Decker, was the way they went about it.
I don't know if I can say this out loud without making a lot of people mad, but I think it kind of needed to be improved.
I don't have an opinion because I'm such an idiot when it comes to music. I don't have any idea.
But maybe that's my point, is when I hear...
You don't get the casual person that's just whatever.
Yeah. You name 15 bands, I'm like, I hadn't heard any of them. Well, that's not pulling me out there because, well, come listen to them. I don't want to listen. I want to know something, anything.
So do you want, like, the aging dude from the 90s that you can get? I'm being serious.
I'm totally serious, yes.
Go see what Matchbox 20's doing and see if you can pull them in for the week.
I'd show up.
Yeah. They had Goo Goo Dolls a couple years ago. So it's one of the things.
Okay, yes. Cool. Interested.
Yeah. Okay.
Might be disappointed, but I'm interested. When you name me 15 bands that only the hardcore music nut knows, is it possible that I'm missing out? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm not particularly interested. I bet I represent the majority on this. And I don't mean music nut like in a bad way. I just mean the guy that knows every up-and-coming band.
Or the local scene, for sure, and within the regional.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw those guys at this bar in this arena whatever.
Yeah, they played at this bar in Corinth. And they're great. I don't doubt that they're great, but I've never heard of them. I've never heard their music, and I don't, nah. Now, if you mix them in with a couple of groups that I've heard, well, I might stick around and, oh, I like those guys. But you got to get me in the door first.
I don't know that I've really participated in Double Decker past going to do one specific thing since college. And nothing against Double Decker. It's normally on a baseball weekend. I'm busy. There's things going on. I just don't, for whatever reason.
Well, it's crowded.
It is. It's an out-of-town thing more than an in-town thing, unless you're going for one specific purpose.
Yeah.
Like, there's one particular vendor that my wife goes and sees every year, and it's her thing. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it at all. But yeah, if you want me to stick around for the music, you're probably going to have a headliner in there that draws my attention.
Okay. In 20 years, when they get Coldplay to show up, you'll be there.
Coldplay was damn good in person. One of maybe the best concert I've ever seen in person. I was shocked. I was not a Coldplay person before that concert. I was afterwards. They were phenomenal.
Is it the last concert you've been to?
Last one I went to was Hall & Oates in Memphis out at that.
You went to Hall & Oates?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It's good.
Yeah. Where was it at?
It was in Memphis at that like country club sort of place. It's an outdoor deal. It feels like you're kind of at a country club sort of.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the name of it.
Yeah, no,
I'm sorry. I know there's 10 people. Hopefully more than 15 of you out there right now yelling, no, Neil, it's this, that. They were good. They were old. The sax player was still as awesome as ever.
Yeah, I think I've told the story. Like, I guess this was 2008, 9, something like that. I saw Journey, Heart, and Cheap Trick.
Oh, yeah?
And Cheap Trick, real old now. Not, you know, Journey, I think it was when they were, you know, they had the kid they found off YouTube or whatever.
This wasn't Steve Perry's Journey.
No. This was the guy they replaced him that did like a bunch of Journey covers at some point and ended up as the lead singer, whatever. But, yeah, they were fine. Cheap Trick, not so much. Cheap Trick had gotten on with his days a little bit, so.
You know. Been ridden hard.
Yeah. Put up wet a little bit for Cheap Trick. So.
How was Heart?
I don't remember. Those are the two that I recall just from from that. That was the tour. It was Journey, Heart, and Cheap Trick.
Monroe used to get like the C.
I think that was in Birmingham.
Yeah,
at the amphitheater.
I saw Counting Crows there.
Did you?
Yeah, they were good. Monroe would get like Night Ranger, 38 Special. I saw New Edition. Got backstage passes to New Edition.
How and why?
I don't know, but I did. I met like Ralph Tresvant, Bobby Brown.
It was 2008. I just found it. The Journey, Heart, Cheap Trick tour dates.
Candy Girl.
Let's see. They were in Birmingham at the Verizon Amphitheater on August the 9th. So August 9th, 2008. Journey, Heart, and Cheap Trick.
I saw, who did I see? I saw Counting Crows and some other band that I'd heard of. I don't remember. I remember Counting Crows were disappointing live.
I'm such not a music or concert person. I mean, I just, yeah.
Night Ranger. I did. So 38 Special actually wasn't bad live.
I can name a couple of their songs.
I saw Chicago in person.
See, that's okay.
And they were good.
I'm good with
they
that.
They were solid. Saw Rick Springfield.
Ooh.
That's it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was a kid. It was back when Rick Springfield was the deal. Came to the Thomas Assembly Center in Ruston.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ruston Capullo and Rick Springfield?
Ruston got Rick Springfield. Yes, sir.
What was the opening act?
I don't remember.
Okay. Just curious.
I don't remember.
All right. What else is on your mind today?
On my mind today. Well, NBA playoffs are set.
Okay.
Honestly, that's probably as much on my mind as anything. I stayed up last night watching.
You've always been kind of a guru the last few years, but you've reached this almost weird status at this point with your NBA watching. Like, it's
there's some series that even you will enjoy. Like, you have a little thing for New Orleans.
I do.
Portland, New Orleans is going to be a really good series.
I can't get into it because they can't win it all. Had Cousins stayed healthy, I would be more into it.
I understand that.
But it's sort of just, hey, it's like pulling for the 14 seed.
But you,
can they beat the three? Okay.
But you appreciate greatness.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anthony Davis right now is great. I mean, we're doing this conversation about who's the MVP, and it is James Harden for the whole season. Who's the MVP of the last 3 weeks? Anthony Davis.
Well, you and I had this conversation last year on a podcast discussing if you had the first pick of any current player, you might take Davis number one.
Today? Man, if you offered me the first pick today. Davis, Giannis. I think I'd take both of those guys before I would take Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Davis is just special. But there's some really good series. Philadelphia is fascinating in the East right now. They won again last night by 35 points. Utah-Oklahoma City has a chance to be a really entertaining series. And here's where I disagree with you a little bit. If you tell me Luke Mbamute is out, he's out for the first round for Houston. If you tell me he's out for the second round too, both Utah or Oklahoma City has a shot against Houston.
Which then opens the whole thing up into a mess.
Yeah, and no one knows what is Steph Curry's status. That's why when you say, well, there's no way New Orleans could beat Golden State, I disagree.
Well, I don't mean that. I just mean they can't win the championship.
If you get that far, you can win the championship.
Okay.
There's no powerhouse in the East. And in the West, the leaders are – I mean, the two best teams in the West are absolutely Golden State and Houston. But Golden State goes into the playoffs without Steph Curry. And Houston goes into the playoffs without one of their elite defenders, which is going to force other people to defend. And there are a lot of people, hand raised, who kind of wonder if that isolation style of basketball, when the officiating changes in the playoffs the way that it will – does that work?
My computer just popped up and told me that tomorrow is Thomas Jefferson's birthday. Is that a key day that my computer needs to alert me to? Is that a little strange?
That is a little weird.
I don't think I get every president's birthday popped up or anything.
Why is Jefferson's Day not a bigger holiday than it is? We celebrate Washington, Lincoln. Who are the people that get like their own day? Washington and Lincoln sort of share a day. Martin Luther King Jr. gets a day.
There's not really many. That's about it. We don't get
Columbus
a lot of
gets a day.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever.
We give a day to a dude that got lost.
That discovered a place where people were already present.
And didn't know that he'd discovered it.
I mean, talk about the low bar that we're setting
I
here
know.
For a day.
Christopher Columbus got to America and basically went, ah, damn, we took a wrong turn, honey. Yet he gets a day.
Yeah. I mean, federal holidays in the United States of America. Thanks for where we're going today.
Man, I'm going to tell you, this show, I knew I was in one of those weird moods and that it could go anywhere. And
there's only a couple. New Year's, not a couple, there's a few. Several would be the term.
Yeah, there's more
New
than...
Year's Day, a few is three.
Let's evaluate holidays on their worthiness.
New Year's Day.
Solid.
It needs to be a free day.
Yeah, come on.
Don't make people go to work on New Year's Day.
You going to make accountants go to work on January 1 and hit buttons? No. Just we'll take the day off, watch some football, recover.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes. Absolutely. A transcendent figure in American history.
Floating Monday between February 15th and 21st, George Washington. Birthday.
I'm a big believer in the value of George Washington to our country's past, yes.
Memorial Day.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear a counter argument if you have one. But I mean,
who's arguing against Memorial Day?
Yeah, it's not like I said Flag Day, Arbor Day. Yeah. Okay, fine. Independence Day.
Yeah, sure.
Labor Day.
I mean, look, I like getting that Monday, although we have to work it.
But when 2012, this is on Wikipedia, one 2012 survey of American adults found 52% celebrate Labor Day as just the unofficial end of summer.
Okay. See, this is where maybe Jefferson deserves his day.
41% of employers require at least some employees to work on Labor Day.
Okay.
Okay. Columbus Day. No, it should not be a federal holiday.
No, we should kill that or give that holiday to somebody else.
Like the same week, see whose birthday is also that week?
Yeah, let's pull up people in that month and let's see where who maybe deserves a holiday.
In a second, give
me
a minute.
Okay.
Veterans Day, November the 11th.
Well, yeah, no one's arguing against that.
And I'm good for Memorial Day and Veterans Day. That's problem.
The people that fought and died for us, they deserve 2 days. Yes.
And then Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. That's
cool,
it.
Cool with
those. Are federal holidays. Those are the United States federal holidays.
So individuals who receive their own holiday.
Columbus, Washington, and MLK.
And Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So it's Jesus.
And a group of pilgrims, if you'd like to do that.
Yes, the pilgrims. And I'm for them. Because they went through a lot. The pilgrims did. Washington, absolutely a transcendent figure in American history. Abraham Lincoln, absolutely a transcendent figure in American history. Martin Luther King Jr., absolutely. But Columbus? Come on. I mean, why not like Ferdinand Magellan Day, just for the sheer hell of it?
He probably at least knew where he was going.
Well, he knew he was circumventing the globe. Columbus was, like, lost.
All right. Famous birthdays in October.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
I'm looking for historical figures. I'm skipping just, like, John Lennon. Sorry, you're not getting a day.
John Lennon Day.
Yeah, Eleanor Roosevelt in the same period as Columbus. Now, she's more relevant than Columbus to me. I'm not picking her. I'm just saying, come on.
Who else you got?
Molly Pitcher. Not giving her a day, but as opposed to Columbus, I mean, why not? What do you think?
I mean,
she aided soldiers in the American Revolution.
She did.
Now, we're not sure if she's actually one person or a group of women that somehow gets called Molly, but still. It's,
well, that's kind of like the movie where they killed Bin Laden. You know, the one woman that sort of found Bin Laden, she wasn't really one woman. It was like a lot of people. But
you had to.
Yeah. But it's kind of like the pilgrims. We're not celebrating a pilgrim. Who else you got in October?
I mean, look.
Why not just make Halloween a holiday?
An eccentric figure here, I get that. But pretty respected just for his manliness. Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, absolutely. More than Christopher Teddy, Columbus.
Teddy should be above Christopher on the hierarchy here.
I mean, I wouldn't be against Roosevelt Day.
Yeah, those are the ones I'm getting just from quick searches of historical figures.
What about September if we moved it up a month?
Hold on.
Because we could kill Labor Day at the same time.
Why are you trying to kill Labor Day?
Because I don't like it. And it's a Monday. I don't want a Monday holiday. Give me a Friday holiday.
All right. Famous birthdays in September. Top 10. Let's
see. Okay.
Queen Elizabeth the First.
I mean, she's interesting, but that probably wouldn't work.
Colonel Sanders not going to make the cut.
No. Especially now that he's Reba McEntire, whoever he is.
Yeah, sorry, Agatha Christie. Agatha Christie. Lauren Bacall, great, but no. Greta Garbo, no.
Lauren Bacall.
Michael Faraday. Scientists don't really get their own days.
They really don't. And they do a lot of stuff.
Like, you know.
Like the cat that came up with the polio vaccine. Why not give him a day instead
Jonas Salk.
Yeah, instead of Columbus.
Salk Day. You may see when his birthday is in a minute.
I mean, yeah. But I'm sure he did something at one point in September that we could honor.
September's a pretty dry month for birthdays. It is. I'm not getting much. Yeah, that's not. Jonas Salk was born. Oh, October 28th.
There you go.
We're in October.
There you go.
Developed the first successful polio vaccine.
Saved a lot of lives.
Better than Christopher Columbus.
Yeah. Columbus got lost, landed, and went, oh, damn.
This centuries later,
we took a wrong turn, honey, and I don't think he even made it. He didn't make it home, did he?
I'm not real up on my...
Columbus never got back to Spain, am I right?
How'd he die?
Like, he got disease or something. They all got disease and stuff. How the hell did we end up here? I understand why people hate me right now. You're allowed to hate me right now. I deserve your hatred.
The podcast is also brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, supporting our idiocy on this Thursday morning. Located Oxford, Memphis, Sedo County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. You understand your market. That is actually a really
Jason,
big deal.
Yeah.
You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, JLOWE, at communitymtg.com.
Hey, Ole Miss fans living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. A rebel by marriage, Lauren specializes in East Dallas and has a network that extends throughout the DFW Metroplex. Lauren loves cheering on the Rebs, and she would love to help Rebel fans in Dallas or moving to Dallas sell their home or find and buy their new one. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine, and she was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood, East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town, and that's Lauren. So give her a call, 469-867-1734, or go to her website, www.laurenandkelly.com. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And we've been telling you about the Moonlight Grahams. You can see them on Saturday, April the 28th, at World Music Nashville at 7 p.m. You can get their new album. It's out on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. You can get tickets to World Music Nashville on their Facebook page or at ticketzone.com. Again, Saturday, April the 28th, 7 p.m., the Moonlight Grahams. It's a folk Americana band. You'll love them. Go give them a listen. It's John McCann is an Ole Miss grad, part of that band. So support him and check out their work on Spotify, YouTube, and elsewhere.
No, Columbus got back. I mean, he did a good bit, actually, after his voyages. I'm reading here from his Wikipedia page. Pretty strong move. He says, in his later years, Columbus demanded that the Spanish crown give him 10% of all profits made from the new lands, as stipulated in something of Santa Fe. Because he had been relieved of his duties as governor, the crown did not feel bound by this contract, and his demands were rejected. After his death, his heirs sued the crown for part of the profits from trade with America, as well as other rewards. This led to a protracted series of legal disputes known as pleititis something, something, something. He died at 54, had been bedridden for most of the past 14 years due to gout, influenza, and bleeding from the eyes.
Okay, so here are the ones that I knew. There were some famous explorers that died.
Okay.
On their Ferdinand Magellan died. He didn't make it all the way around. He led an attack on arrival of a friendly local king, and during that battle, Magellan and more than 30 of his men were killed by natives. Ponce de Leon, he died. He gets credit. You know what he gets credit for, right?
Ponce de Leon, is that the Fountain of Youth?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Look at Hatley High School. Good job. Discovered Florida. Although the truth probably is not quite as exciting, Ponce de Leon and the Fountain of Youth weren't linked until after his death, so he didn't get to enjoy that. He didn't get to use that with the ladies, like, hey, I found the Fountain of Youth.
That would have been a positive.
Because he was already dead. Yeah, that would be a pickup line at the bar. James Cook. Not sure I would have been able to tell you anything about James Cook. He's remembered as the first European contact with the eastern side of Australia and Hawaii. And then Zhang He.
Okay.
And I know nothing about Zhang.
Okay. Okay, last thing. Columbus arguing that he should get 10% of all trade with America because he found the land. Is that relevant or not? Are you good with this or not? Because I'm sort of on the fence.
It's a power move on his part.
I mean, look, he got lost, but he did create the avenue for Spain to pull this off. So, that's okay, right?
I mean, sometimes you got to cash in on mistakes. You get lemons, make lemonade. Put honeysuckle vodka in it, make it even better, but make lemonade.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm good here, too.
So, you've... Just in the course of this conversation, you've gone from let's kill his day to, I don't know.
Well, no, that has nothing to do with us. I still want to kill his day. I mean, making money for Spain based off getting lost in America doesn't do anything for America.
Does he have his own day in Spain?
I don't know.
Let's find that out. Does Columbus have his day in Spain?
Because there can't be too many people that have multiple days and a day in multiple countries, right?
That's what I would think. Since 1987, Spain has celebrated the anniversary of Columbus's arrival in the Americas as its Fiesta Nacional, or National Day. Previously, Spain had celebrated the day as Día de la Hispanidad, emphasizing Spain's ties.
It is a national holiday in Spain on October 12th, Columbus Day.
There you go. Power move.
Dude got lost and turned that into federal holidays in two countries.
I mean, that is boss.
I mean, that's like him and Jesus.
Yeah.
There aren't many.
Well, I mean, like, George Washington does not have a day in England.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln doesn't have a day in, like, France or something.
So
it's pretty boss.
Things you learn on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
And Thomas Jefferson, who probably deserves a day, maybe even in France as well.
Yeah, but he gets Apple to tell people his birthday is the next day.
That's true.
He does.
He doesn't even get his own day.
No.
And Alexander Hamilton gets his own play.
Yes. We really, really appreciate all of you for hanging in to this length of this podcast. I don't know that I would have, but I appreciate it a ton.
I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm trying to figure out ways out. So.
Yeah, yesterday was actually a really good podcast day as a close because I had the FedEx guy I was running yesterday told me he liked the podcast. I appreciated that when I saw him around the block.
What really sucks about today is that what's going to get back to Kermit Davis is that podcast sucked, and he's going to be like, what did I do? And he's going to be like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, we did not represent the podcast well past the Kermit Davis portion of today's show, but it's okay. So I did that. Also had a conversation with somebody last night who was bragging on Billy's Pecans products. So
you've not had them yet, have you?
I've had some. Yeah,
okay,
because
we've got to get that rectified.
Yeah.
There's, oh, man.
Yeah. Chocolate-covered things are good.
So are you more of the sweet or the, we've had this conversation before.
I'm a sweet, not a salty.
The pecans with just the salt and I guess probably a little bit of butter. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you can find those. We'll tell you about it in the days ahead. And again, thank you. We will bless you. Tomorrow is a Friday podcast. Yeah. So
don't overpromise right here. Don't say tomorrow will be better. There's a decent chance tomorrow will be worse.
Yes. So love you all. Talk tomorrow.